Welcome to the Internet Monthly Podcast, a podcast featuring 10 or so short articles of internet-related news and views, tips and tricks, and a regular search engine of the month feature. This podcast is sponsored by Zen Internet. For more information on this month's edition and a list of links for each story, please visit richardfarrer.com. Government seeks city of tomorrow. The government is inviting towns and cities across the UK to bid for a £24 million Future Cities Demonstrator Fund to spend on technology that will improve residents' quality of life. The Technology Strategy Board will award the money to an urban area that submits the proposal that best demonstrates what additional value can be created by turning the community into a smart city by integrating transport, communications, and other local infrastructure. The Future Cities Demonstrator Programme, run by the Technology Strategy Board, TSB, aims to kickstart the market for integrated city systems, which is estimated to be worth £200 billion a year. The government has already given support to smart city schemes driven by Intel and Living Plan IT. In the initial phase of this scheme, local authorities can put themselves forward for one of the 20 grants of £50,000 that can be used to further demonstrate and develop their ideas. Out of these 20, one will be awarded £24 million for its final proposal. Stage 1 applications must be submitted by noon on the 5th of this month. For more details, see news.techworld.com/networking/3363203. Smart money for Euro startups. US European venture capital firm Index Ventures has announced a €350 million fund for early stage European investments. The company says it's impressed by the innovation it is seeing in Europe, including Britain, despite economic issues that have plagued the area for several years. The fund will focus on consumer technology with some enterprise investments. The firm has done well investing in marketplaces, payments, gaming, mobile, and social startups, with past initiatives in these areas including Flipboard, Etsy, Path, and Moo. Despite the fractious economy in Europe, Index is optimistic. There are more companies being started by more people in Europe right now. There are more people disillusioned by their big company jobs, says Index Ventures partner Mike Volpe. And most venture capital firms do well in Europe, according to Volpe. Because large companies are hesitant to invest, VC firms have an advantage. They can also act as a support system, because European startups often don't have access to lawyers and financial advisors that specialise in startups. Most of Index's fund is earmarked for first-time entrepreneurs in Berlin, Stockholm, and Tel Aviv, as well as London. The early stage fund has dedicated $20 million to seed financing. Read more at indexventures.com/news. Pop-up market testing. Fancy taking a pop at revolutionising retail? Why not try with your own shop? Dan Thompson from the Empty Shop Network advises dozens of first-time retail temps via his website and says a pop-up shop needs only two essentials: a short life with a start and an end date, and a really good idea. Pop-ups are perfect for innovation, prototyping, and testing, he says. If parts of the old high street are dead, pop-ups can help find new uses for them. Will you reinvent British high street shopping? Probably not, but you could wake things up temporarily and use the pop-up shop space to test drive your company's most innovative products and radical ideas in entirely new ways. For speed and cost effectiveness, social networking is going to be most useful to promote the venture. As soon as you start planning, you should set up a Twitter account and a Facebook page for your project and start gathering supporters. Talk to other pop-up people on Twitter. They'll help with promotion too. Search for hashtags like #EmptyShops and #PopUpPeople. You should also contact local media. If your pop-up shop idea is worthy of any attention at all, they'll be keen to give it some coverage. For more details, see artistsandmakers.com. Creative Webinar Week. Running from the 9th to the 13th of July, Adobe's Creative Week will be a celebration of creativity in the UK, packed full of lively debates, creative challenges, exclusive demonstrations, and inspirational case studies, all broadcast live online. With each day focusing on a different theme, here's what can be expected during the week. Monday, 9th July, Creative Industry Overview. Tuesday, 10th July, Design and Publishing. Wednesday, 11th July, Film and Video. Thursday, 12th July, Web and Mobile. Friday, 13th July, Photography and Imaging. Events will involve luminaries from the creative world, Adobe evangelists, and members of the creative community, including Rufus Dukla, Jason Levine, Paul Trani, and Julianne Cost, with more still to be announced. For more details on the event and to sign up for updates, visit the Creative Week website at adobecreate.co.uk/creativeweek. Best new fonts this year. If you're into fonts, you should love some of the beauties included in the latest collection assembled by Design Festival's Tara Horner, which she titles The Best New Fonts of 2012, so far. It's possible you won't agree with all the choices made by the enthusiastic Miss Horner. Graffiti, for example, is a real love-it-or-hate-it Marmite kind of font. And then there's Optima, which hardly qualifies as new at all, given that it was designed by Herman Zapf in the 1950s. But for the most part, the list is a worthy follow-up from the author, who has already given us free display fonts you don't want to miss and 30 best grunge fonts from around the web. For more information, see designfestival.com/category/typography. Enigma Code Breaker Celebrated. The 23rd of June this year marked the centenary of the birth of Alan Turing, computer pioneer, mathematician, and philosopher. To celebrate the life and legacy of this extraordinary man, the Science Museum has put together a new Codebreaker exhibition where you can learn about Turing's involvement in cracking the Enigma Code during World War II. From 1948 until his death in 1954, Turing worked on the early computers at the University of Manchester, in the building next door to the Manchester Museum. He was made Deputy Director of Manchester University's Computing Laboratory and produced works on artificial intelligence that are still relevant today, including the Turing test, which proposed that if the responses from a computer were indistinguishable from that of a human, the computer could be said to be thinking. Take a crack at some code-breaking challenges set by GCHQ to test your own deciphering skills at turinggame.sciencemuseum.org.uk. Message from Martha. 9-year-old blogger Martha Payne's images of her Scottish school's uninspiring lunches, one consisted of 2 croquettes, 3 slices of cucumber and a lollipop, drew international attention last month. Her blog, set up as a writing project and to help raise money for a school meals charity, has drawn more than 2 million hits. Martha, who lives in the coastal town of Lochgilphead, southwest of Inverary, gave each meal a foodometer rating and offered an assessment of its contents. The local council complained of unwarranted attacks on its school catering service and said the blog misrepresented the options and choices available to pupils, and banned Martha from posting further photographs. But the attempted censorship became an online talking point, with free speech advocates and Jamie Oliver weighing in on the 9-year-old's behalf. "Stay strong, Martha," Oliver tweeted to his more than 2 million followers. The internet storm was quickly followed by an official U-turn, but not before the blog had become the focus of a worldwide media spotlight, eventually attracting over £100,000 in donations for Martha's supported charity, marysmeals.org.uk, which provides daily meals for malnourished schoolchildren overseas. Check out neverseconds.blogspot.co.uk. Hottest social site you've never heard of. Wattpad, an online community of ebook creators and sharers, has just raised £12 million from some serious investors, including Yahoo co-founder Jerry Yang. Some are comparing the Canadian company to Pinterest. Wattpad may not get as many headlines as the photo sharing site, but it's seen steady growth since its founding in 2006, and its 8 million members spend a combined 1.7 billion minutes on Wattpad each month, more than users spend on Pinterest, according to CEO and founder Alan Lau. Members also contribute over 500,000 new stories each month to the site, which provides all the content free to its users. Check out wattpad.com. Taxing times for IE7. An online retailer is imposing a tax on customers using Internet Explorer 7. Getting some members of the public to keep up with new technology can be almost as difficult as getting your brand some headline exposure in the competitive internet marketplace. Australian online electronics retailer Kogan is attempting to kill both birds with one stone by implementing an Internet Explorer 7 tax on customers who use the somewhat outdated browser when they make purchases. The tax will be levied at 6.8%, 0.1% for each month of IE7's existence. IE7 using customers who place an order will get a pop-up message explaining the tax and offering links to download alternative browsers that will avoid the surcharge. For more details, see www.kogan.com/au/blog. Protected search. If you are afraid, very afraid, that Google is keeping track of every search you make, and gosh, where would you get an idea like that? You might want to take a look at Abine's Google Sharing Protected Search, an add-on especially for people like you. To make things as difficult as possible for Google, while keeping the search engine happy and fully functioning as usual, Abine's Google Sharing issues users with temporary new identities and changes them at random. It uses a custom proxy and a Firefox add-on that hides your location and protects your identity. The proxy works by generating a pool of identities, each of which contains a cookie issued by Google. The Firefox add-on watches for requests to Google and transparently redirects them to the proxy. There, requests are stripped of all identifying information and replaced with the information from one of the random pool identities. Check out abine.com/protected search. Search Engine of the Month. Scottish computer scientists are building a search engine for the Internet of Things to gather data from real-life sensors and combine the information with results derived from social networks. A team working at the University of Glasgow plans to use real monitors located in the physical world to provide answers to search queries. By collating data from cameras and microphones and cross-referencing with results from social networks such as Twitter, users will be able to receive detailed responses to questions such as, "How busy is the city centre now?" and "Are there any live music events that my friends will be visiting?" The European-funded project, known as SMART, Search Engine for Multimedia Environment Generated Content, will be built on an open-source search engine technology known as Terrier that the university has been developing since 2004. SMART builds upon the existing concept of smart cities, physical spaces covered in an array of intelligent sensors that communicate with each other, that can be searched for information, said Dr. Ida Aunis of the University of Glasgow School of Computing Science. And search results sourced from these smart cities can be reused across multiple applications, she added. SMART is scheduled to be tested in a real city next year. Check out digitalspy.co.uk/tech/news/A386795. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next month.